So I told you that this was going to be a bit of a different sermon this morning, not really even a sermon, so to speak. We will end in God's Word as we transition towards communion time. But just for this first Sunday of the new year, I really wanted to borrow, steal, whatever you want to call it, the title that different leaders over the years have used. If you are aware of and you follow United States government, every January, whoever the president is, it is on their responsibilities to give a State of the Union address. I know governors do that as well. In fact, I would imagine that the State of West Virginia address will be coming this month later on as well by the governor. And so I wanted to take that idea, and maybe this will turn into an every year thing. We'll see how it goes, and we'll see how many boos I get. Sheesh, tough crowd. It's okay to laugh. See the feedback on this state of this church, not of the capital C church around the world. I certainly am not equipped or qualified to give that as well. But regarding this church here, State of First Baptist Fairleigh, as we enter a new year and we have a lot coming up and a lot to be excited about, I wanted to share, I guess, the pastor's thoughts, the pastor's vision as well. And I think that's important from time to time to let you know where I'm at. You may wonder, well, what does Pastor Ben think? Where are we? What's his plans? And I may or may not do a very good job of telling that to you. And this is, I guess, my excuse to be able to do that for the first Sunday of the new year, to be able to really cover some things. First, I want to begin with where we've come from, specifically looking back at the last year. Well, it's no surprise to you, but you all had to get used to and figure out a new pastor. And guess what? Your pastor had to get used to and also figure out you all as well. To know who to be careful with about teasing, to know who to, there we go, and to know who to maybe entrust with different responsibilities, who is serving in these responsibilities or these ministries, who's connected with those ministries, how many people have been here for years and years and years and years and years, how many people relatively new. See, to me, coming in, everyone's on the same level. And I have to kind of learn and figure out the families and the connections and the relationships and the length and longevity. And one of the things I've enjoyed being able to do is get to know you as my church family. And I hope it's been a joy for you to do the same. I do want to publicly thank you for being so patient for me in this year of transition. If you remember, a year ago, January 1st was my first Sunday here. And really, for the first 5 months, you saw my family maybe 3 or 4 times total because they had not moved down yet. And you helping us move and being patient with that transition and then jumping in and helping beyond what would be expected. Thank you so much for your patience and really just you giving me a chance to kind of get my feet wet with being your pastor and me allowing me to get to know you and being so kind and patient with me and my family. That has truly been a joy. Maybe you think, well, duh, that's kind of normal, but I insist it's not normal for a church to be that patient with a new pastor. So thank you so much. You know, and you allowed me to kind of give my statement for how I see this church. Mission statement, so to speak, is reflected in 3 G's. And you've heard me say this over and over again. In fact, I really began my time here by spending a couple weeks to explain what this whole gather, grow, and go thing was, and how that will be my vision, and really my expectations for the church, for you individually, for me individually, for us collectively as a church, can be summed up in, are we gathering, are we growing, and are we going? Gathering meaning we're actually here, we're seeing each other, and gathering in some sense could be stretched out to those who aren't able to be here for whatever reason, but they're able to still worship with us online. And so we take advantage of things like technology that allow us to record services and do live streams. But to gather, to be together as the people of God is special. And we need to put an importance on actually gathering together. Growing. Because I'm not content just to have a church with people on their butts in pews. I want to grow, not just numbers. I want you to grow. I want myself to grow closer to Christ with each other so we can grow in our knowledge of each other, growth in our family, church family together, but most importantly, growth in knowing Jesus and being more like Him. And I want to make sure that our church always has ministries, multiple ministries, in how you can be a part of growing. And then going. Again, it's a very selfish, inward-focused church that only cares about us right here in these four walls, and who cares about those people out there, whether it's halfway around the world or whether it's 100 feet outside our property. Who cares about them? We're just happy right here. I'm not going to be content with a church that is only inward-focused. We are to be going. Now, serving does look like serving sometimes here. There are adults serving right now behind me, in front of you, in the nursery and with the children's program. That is going as well. It's serving people here. We have a great number of people in our church who serve on Wednesday nights at our biggest outreach, Awana. And they will be serving going this Wednesday. But also going can be further than that. It should be further than that. And I love the fact, and I'll talk about this a little bit, that you all already, I didn't have to come in and make a bunch of outreaches happen. You all already have been faithfully doing those outreaches in our community, state, nation, and around the world. And so gathering, growing, going will continue to be our call and our mission statement. If we are doing that faithfully, I would call this church a win. We went through some preaching series. You allowed me to really preach and begin with looking at God, making sure that we are not worshiping a God that we all can stuff into our cute little box because we have our understanding of our cute little pet God. See our little God, and we let him out once in a while, but we can control him. Our God is not that. He cannot be controlled and stuffed into a cute little box of our understanding. And I did my best to take God's word and show us how the attributes of God show us that we have a God who is way bigger, way beyond our comprehension and understanding. And we have to be okay with that. I mean, he is, whether you're okay with it or not. He is. That is our God. We talked about church membership. I spent 4 weeks describing church membership. And really, the background and history and funneled things down from church to being a Baptist church, to being First Baptist Church Fairly, and what that includes, and then some looking ahead to what happens as a member. And here's my expectation if you are a church member of First Baptist Fairly. My expectation is gather, grow, and go with a fourth G that applies to you. Give. To give both of your time and of your finances, your money, to support this church. We looked at, through the summer, we went through a study on Colossians. Short book, 4 chapters. If you just sat down and read Colossians, depending on how quick a reader you are, that would take 10 to 20 minutes. But we spent time going verse by verse all the way through the book of Colossians. As we entered the fall, we began a survey of Old Testament kings. That was 5 weeks looking at both kings that were good, bad, and some in between that went back and forth between good and bad. But we did a survey of 5 different kings there. We went through the short, very short book of Jonah and showed that it's much more than just a man and a fish in a boat in a storm, right? That's Jonah. No, that's like the opening scene of the story of Jonah. And I hope we all were able to learn and grow from Jonah. And then we ended in December with some other preaching and series sprinkled in. Those are the main ones. Ended with looking at Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Some new updated things. We have a new chapter in our church's life that's begun, and I hope it's exciting for you. I know it is for me. But some new and updated things that we brought in, or maybe updated, or brought in that hadn't been done in a while. We were able to work on this thing called Adventure Kids and strengthen our children's ministry. We brought on our director of children's ministries, Beth Schaefer. She's not here because she's back with the kids doing what she does best. And that was a joy to be able to see her and dive in and just be able to talk with her and see her vision for kids. I'm just going to tell you, she's knocking it out of the park. If you don't know, and most of you do, she's knocking it out of the park. And so that's a win for us to have someone who cares so much about the children's ministry and has a passion for it and a lot of ideas. And if you were here for the kids program in December, that Christmas program, that's just a taste of what she's able to do. And I look forward to continuing to work with Beth to see how best she can specifically strengthen our children's ministries. We were able to restart the youth ministry come fall and see the youth ministry come together again. Scott and Hannah Vogelsong agreed to kind of assist me, and they're going to be the heads, the leads of this while we're in this transition time of, Lord willing, as you know, looking for a youth pastor. The search committee continues to work towards that and pray towards that as we have some options that we're continuing to pray towards. But I would ask that you pray. They may fall through. They may continue to work out to be something that we can be excited about. And hopefully in the next few months, we have an update for you and maybe an announcement of somebody. If not, we're still going to trust in God. We're still going to continue to commit, whether we have a full-time youth pastor or just volunteers who are willing to do whatever they can to help this youth ministry grow. Being a former youth ministry, I took the demotion to senior pastor position. I have a deep passion that the youth ministry, that the children's ministries continue to grow. It will be a focus. Not the only focus, but it will be, and it should be a focus of our church. We were able to see a block party happen this summer, coming together with a lot of volunteers. Many of you sitting here had a heavy part in putting together that block party. And it was amazing to be able to see hundreds of people come from our community, which is what it was for. It wasn't just entertaining our church. We can do that. But it was not the purpose. The purpose was to not entertain our church, but to push our church to truly be able to reach out and hopefully give some fun and some enjoyment and some challenging times to the community around us. And so, and I said challenging times. I don't mean challenging as in rough. I mean to challenge and encourage the people around us to be a part of this. And so the block party was able to come together. Sunday nights, we came back. I know that before that, there was not really a meeting or anything Sunday nights between pastors, so to speak. And I've been able to go through the Gospel of John. So you'd think with like me teaching Sunday night Bible study a whole year, that obviously we've started John and we finished that a long time ago, right? Not even close. We're in John 17. We got some good chapters left. You are willing and invited to join. It's okay. I know you've come in the middle of it. It's okay. It's okay. We're going to read and continue to learn and ask questions and discuss and maybe even debate sometimes what we think about these things, what God has for us, but we continue to grow and take this time. I do believe it's best right now and healthiest for our church to leave Wednesday night alone as far as it being primarily about Awana and about youth group. I'm open to other possibilities, but I believe that's wisest for our church now. But I continue to have a focus on Sunday nights, and I look forward to continuing that Bible study with your participation as well. Caroling in a nursing home, bringing our call to worship, which we began the service with this morning. I started that as a new thing. Our welcome center, being able to move it from where I didn't think was the best location to be able to really connect people with the sanctuary and with the nursery and kids area as well as here. And so we've made a bunch of improvements, and I appreciate very much wisdom from people who have been here a while, who counseled me on what to do and what not to do as far as the entrances, making them a little more attractive as far as getting people to come to a welcome center, those who are willing to man or woman the welcome center and use that as a little bit of a focal point for the church as far as getting information, t-shirts, the whole nine yards. We've been able to see that improve as well. And many building and grounds improvements, I take zero credit for any of that. I simply was able to give thumbs up to people who already had great intentions and great plans for our church. And this is a church that takes care of its property, and that is a good thing. I've been a part of churches that did not, and maybe you know of churches that don't as well. Whether they can't or whether they don't care to, I appreciate the fact that this church cares about what this looks like, not only for our own people, but for the community as well. Those are some new and updated things that we covered. Numbers. Church is not about numbers. It is about individuals. Same thing? Maybe, maybe not. But numbers do help us measure whether we are gathering, growing, and going. And so it's okay and healthy at times to look at numbers without being a slave to numbers as well. I very, very, very much think it's important to celebrate the fact, and some of you are sitting here and are part of this number, that we had 34 new members join our church in 2023. I've been told, for sure, within memory, that's definitely the most that have ever committed to joining a church, in recent memory, for sure. I know better than to think that it has anything to do with the pastor. I know that our church was just primed and ready, and many of you were already a part of this church and probably just wanted to see what that new guy, Ben, was all about, and I hope I've done a decent job of making you happy and encouraged and excited about where our church is going. 34 new members. I was able to baptize 6 into membership as well this year. I looked at the attendance. And again, attendance is not everything. I don't sweat attendance. I don't run back there right after the service to see how many people were there. I know we're a little smaller here today. I expected that because of weather. It's the first of the year. And I, again, know of a lot of people who are out of town. And now even some of the snowbirds who go down south for the winter, we'll be missing them for a few months as well. So numbers are expected to be down. That's not my first focus. It's really not my 10th focus either. But it does show growth or the lack thereof. I averaged out the average morning, Sunday morning attendance of January, February, and March, and we averaged 135 for those 3 months. The last 3 months, October, November, and December, average all out, all the ups and downs, and we're up to 175 from 135 to 175. That just shows me growth. I hope that's something to be excited about. By the look of some of your faces, you don't care. It's okay to be excited. It's okay to smile, too. It's okay. I'm happy. I'm encouraged. You would rightly be this if we went from 175 to 135. Then you should be like, wait a sec, right? Right? No, we're growing in attendance. That is a good thing. I would love to see that continue. That's my goal. Now, can I do much about it? No, because nobody cares if a pastor invites them to church. I shouldn't say that. About 6% of people care if a pastor invites them to church. 85% of people care if their friend invited them to church. So I have very little to do with who comes. You do. Oh, snap. Yeah, you do. Not me. People expect the pastor. Well, you're the pastor. Of course you have to. Okay. I will continue to invite people to church. They're not going to care. They care if you do. So you have a lot to say about where we go in 2024 regarding people who are part of our worship service. But I'm excited that we've even a few times gone over 200 as far as our attendance Sunday mornings, and I hope that that becomes more of a regular thing. I hope you're excited about that as well. The high was 214, actually, and that was on, ironically, the children's play in December. See, it has nothing to do with me. 214 people did not come for Pastor Ben. They came for the cute little kids, and that's okay. But be praying for growth. Be praying for attendance. It needs to be you. I'm dead serious when I say that. Nobody cares if a pastor invites them. They care if their friend does, if their neighbor does, if their coworker does. So that's on you. That's on you. We continue to grow in Sunday school classes, Bible studies, men's and women's studies, both specifically for those groups. Youth group helped. Obviously, Adventure Kids coming together, that focused on the growing. And then also on the going, as far as like outreach and stuff. We had the block party, as I already mentioned. You already have these service events, like the Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes. That's already heavily involved. I did nothing to keep that going. Just, okay, sounds good. Thanks for letting me know. And this is already things that you already have plugged in and ready to go. The Awana, I think our healthiest and in greatest outreach to our community with the kids and the families there, that continues. Do you want to know the total amount of money given to missions and outreach? This is not to take care of the light bill. This is not to pay Pastor Ben's salary. This is just outreach and missions money. In our budget, we gave $148,150 to missions and outreach. I think that's great. Don't give me the dead look. All right, there you go. All right, thank you. That's around 30% of the total budget. Again, churches would just die to be able to have those resources. And you give faithfully. So thank you. Where we are, like right now, this will be my shortest time here, just talking about where we are. Here's some things I love about First Baptist Church Fairleigh. In my 1 year, and really this has been a year of me just observing, learning, talking to people, getting to know you, getting to know how things operate, expectations, what's happened in the past, where we're going in the future. Here's things I love. First of all, I love the fact that this church does not have the 90-10 problem. What is the 90-10 problem? Well, 90% of the work gets done by 10% of the people. Sometimes it's even 95-5. That's not the case here. As I scan the room, I see many people involved in all sorts of ministries and helping out in various places here and there. I wondered if that was going to be a struggle coming in, and I'm glad to say it's not. I love the fact that so many are involved, and so many are willing. Sure, Pastor, just let me know. Sure. I know that there are some who would rather not. Okay. That's not going to be a problem for me, but I appreciate the fact that so many get involved. No 1090 problem here. I love the fact that there are already healthy discipleship and outreach and service options already. I came in ready to like, oh boy, what am I going to have to start here? I wonder if this church is going to do anything. I already knew kind of and had a good idea of what you told me that you were doing. But see, what you tell me before I become the pastor and what actually happens could be two different things. But it's not. I love the fact that we're already doing so many outreach things. I don't have to be like, ah, we got to do something. Man, what are we doing here? We're just sitting around. No, you guys already have many things, healthy things going regarding discipleship, growth, service, outreach. I love that. I love that. And I can simply say, let's tweak this, let's change that, or just give thumbs up and watch it continue to do what it's supposed to do. Thank you for being a part of that. I love the fact that it seems, generally, that we have an excited and a positive spirit. I see so much potential. I don't know what you see. I truly don't know. I'd be curious to see how would you grade or rate 1 to 10, right, whatever, 1 to 100, rate our church and the excitement. I see so much to be excited about, so much potential. The fact that we have a pretty good attendance on a crappy weather day and on a day when a lot of people aren't going to be able to make it in, and we're still here and we're still ready to go, and ministries still happen. We don't freeze everything if two people can't show up. You know why? Because a lot of people are involved. And so I see so much potential, and I'm excited for what comes ahead. I've been told by deacons that there is a good spirit here that maybe was not so much previously. And I hope that continues to be the case, that we continue to be positive and encouraging. It's not always going to be perfect. Life's not always going to be easy. This church will have its hiccups and bumps along the road just because we're a bunch of humans. But I hope that we continue to be excited about what lies ahead. One last thing before I move on. I love the fact that this church is actually a caring and friendly church. What do I mean by that? Every church says they are. Every church. No church is going to say, actually, we're a bunch of jerks and we don't care about anybody. No church worth anything is going to say that. Every church says and puts on their sign and puts on their webpage, we're a friendly church. You're welcome here. Every church says it. But this church actually is. I can count on more than my 10 fingers and more than my 10 toes how many visitors and outsiders have come to me and said, wow, this church is actually friendly. Just last week, my brother and his family were in town, and so they were here for December 31st, and they were here on Sunday morning. Many of you were able to see them or meet them. You know what he said to me afterwards? Your church is actually friendly. That's not derogatory. It's not like, actually, because I thought they were going to be a bunch of jerks. What he means is most churches just aren't. Everyone says they are, but most aren't. Thank you for being an actual, caring, and friendly church. I don't need to preach to you about how we're supposed to care about people. Let's go greet visitors. Come on. I don't have to do that because you already are. Those are some things that came to my mind when I just sat and thought, what are some things I love about this church? What about some things I'd love to see improve? This is by no means like a chewing out or scolding. I'm not doing that. But there are some things I think could improve and even get stronger and better. I'd love to see more music ministry and involvement in the music, whether it's the praise team, whether it's singing choir, whether it's specials. I'd love to see more involvement. I'd love to see more of a praise team come together to be able to help us worship on Sunday mornings. It's not the answer to everything. It's not the fix-all. You don't stick a Band-Aid of, we got a praise team or we got a bigger choir. It's not the answer. But I enjoy music, and I love how we enjoy music, and I'd love to see more music involvement come. I want to see more corporate prayer. And this isn't me just saying it. We're going to follow what my little vision state of First Baptist Fairly is. We're going to follow that up with a time of corporate prayer. Corporate prayer is different than individual prayer. Individual prayer is you praying as an individual, you and God. Corporate prayer is us as a church family actually praying together, maybe quietly by ourselves, maybe out loud publicly. We always have prayer each time. I lead in prayer. You have a deacon come forward and open the service in prayer. That must continue. That will continue. But I want to have us more times of forced, can I say it that way, where we are forced to pray together. I hope that continues, and I want to see more of that. Time of response at the end of the service. It's very, very clear to me that for whatever reason, you may not even be aware of it, like it's awkward for you all to respond to a service. And I don't know why that is, just it's the church's culture. I came in, just whatever. That's okay. It's not a bad thing. But I'd love to see people, you all, the congregation, more willing to come pray with somebody, to grab the person next to you because you know that they've just gone through a rough patch in life, and you just pull them up, and you just come down here, and you pray. No questions asked, no judgment. We're not all sitting here saying, oh, what did they do? That's a horrible attitude. I don't know if that's in the past. I don't know. Frankly, I don't care. But maybe the expectation was, if you go forward, you got some serious sin in your life. And some Sundays, I kind of feel like that's probably the case. Because I'm like, okay, nobody cares. All right, whatever, moving on. That's okay. I'm not scolding. I'm not forcing us all, okay, 50 people better be down here next week. That's not what I'm saying at all. Don't come if you shouldn't come. But maybe if you feel that push of, maybe I need to just go forward and pray and ask God to really help me commit this passage of Scripture to heart. Or let me love that person that, frankly, I kind of hate right now. God, help me. There's nothing magical. I say it all the time about coming forward, but sometimes it's just healthy. This church is not used to that. It's very clear to me. That's okay. But I hope that at some point we can get to the point to where it's just okay to come forward in prayer. Nothing magical. Yes, of course, people come forward to join the church or to get baptized. Great. I hope that continues. Amen. But it's okay to just come and pray. And you don't even have to tell Pastor Ben why. I'll just be praying for you. I'll stand up here and sing the song, and I'll be praying for you meanwhile. It's okay. I'd love to see that. Better evangelism. I take the lead on that. Evangelism is not my number one priority, and that's always been my thing. I care deeply about discipleship and service. Evangelism has always been a struggle for me, just to have that passion. And I hope to lead this church into more evangelism. In fact, I'm going to a conference in a couple weeks. Hope to bring a few of the church with me. If you're interested in learning more about that, come to me. Don't wait for me to invite you. I may not. You come to me and say, hey, I'll help with, what are you talking about, evangelism? I kind of have a passion for that. I may not know that, and it would be awesome if you came to me to see about how we can help this church do better outreach evangelism. Simply sharing the gospel, learning how to pray for others, pray for your neighbors, pray for our community around us. Evangelism, telling people about Jesus. If we're not doing that, boy, we struck out. And so I want to see us do better at that. And that starts with me. Whole family growth and discipleship. Discipleship options for our whole family to grow. Next Sunday after the service, we will have a meeting for anybody interested in discipleship groups. Every church calls them something different. It could be small groups, life groups, home groups, cell groups, growth groups, whatever you call them. I like the word discipleship groups because it tells you actually what the group is. We're coming together to grow it as disciples, as followers of Jesus. You'll be hearing more about how this is going to be a thing that I want to see our church do as well. And that can be for you, for a spouse, for you as a single person, for you as a family. Different ways where you can grow together. Discipleship growth. I'd love to see our attendance continue to grow. It may not. We may plateau. It's okay. It doesn't mean our church is falling apart. Healthy church is not just numbers, but I'd love to see more and more people as hopefully, Lord willing, our church gets a good reputation of, hey, this church is going places. Hey, this church is actually serving. Hey, this church is friendly. You are. That's great. Go ahead and brag on that. And I hope we continue to see things going forward. Better connections with visitors. I want other people to connect with the visitors, not just it be me. I do my best. I know that I have some other counted on people that I know they're going to go march right up to visitors and greet them. But I hope we do a better job because sometimes visitors still fall through the cracks. And I've had to apologize recently to some people who have been with us for a little while now, attending and a part of our church, and I still have yet to have a single conversation with them, like, face-to-face. That's on me. That's my bad. But I want all of us as a church to connect with those, make them feel to know, yes, our church truly is friendly and welcoming. All right, so here's where we're going, right? This is the vision for the future, 2024. And remember, all of this, it probably even shouldn't be in parentheses. It should be like capitalized, bolded, underlined, italicized. All of this is Lord willing. It's not Pastor Ben willing. It's not deacons willing. It's not church leadership willing. It's God willing. Here's where I'd love to see us go in 2024 and beyond. Lord willing, I'll be beginning next Sunday morning a sermon on the Sermon on the Mount. Series on Sermon on the Mount. This is Matthew 5, 6, and 7. We'll be going in depth, phrase by phrase, sentence by sentence, verse by verse, through Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. This is going to take a little while. It's going to get us through April with a little bit of an interruption for Easter time. Lord willing, we will be sending out, as part of our church family, not individuals, but two mission teams to take two different mission trips. Some of you have already come to me and told me your excitement. Come on in, kids. You guys are fine. I knew you guys would be coming in. Come join. Two mission trips. You'll be hearing soon more ways to support that, either by going or by giving. And we'll have opportunities for those. It is good, by the way, to see a lot of kids coming in here. I hope you guys don't get sick of that. I never do. Disaster relief training. You know that we have been a focal point in the past with the flood back in 2016, I believe. Disaster relief teams met here and stayed actually on the campus here in the gym next door. I want to see people in our church, not everybody, this is not for everybody, but some people who are willing to be trained in disaster relief so that we can have our own team ready to go out into other communities, both state and nationally, to help with disaster relief. We're actually hosting a regional disaster relief training day. It's a couple days, Friday and Saturday in April. You'll be hearing more about that, but that'll be an option for you to get trained in how you can be ready to go with flood relief or cleanup after a storm. Be ready, because I would love to see our church do that and be involved with that as well. You'll be hearing more about that. I already talked about home discipleship groups. Lord willing, we'll have a youth pastor. I'll have a teammate who I can work alongside as pastor of youth primarily. He may be pastor of families or pastor of something else, but youth would be his primary focus and involvement and responsibility, as well as doing general church service things as well. And we'd be partnering together. I'm praying for that. I know that our search committee is definitely praying for those things as well. Stay tuned. Lord willing, we'll be able to add a youth pastor so that a year from now, we can celebrate that as something that happened in 2024. There will be a three-week membership class in February available for those who have come recently to join the church but weren't around for all the way back in, I think, February or March when I did the membership class. And this will be for you to be a part of, as well as people in our church who aren't members, and they may want to say, what's all the fuss about? Who cares about church membership? I truly hope some people come with a bad attitude about church membership class, because I want to do my best to show them why I, frankly, think it's a good thing. And so we'll be doing that during the Sunday school hour in February, 3 weeks. Stay tuned. I'll be talking more about that, and I'll be coming to some of you. Here's my warning. I'll be coming to some of you, inviting you to be a part of that membership class. Evangelism training, retreats and conferences. Here's what I mean by retreats and conferences. Again, Lord willing, May 4th and 5th, the first weekend of May, Saturday and Sunday, we're going to have a missions weekend. It's a bit of a mini conference about missions. You'll be hearing from real live missionaries, like real people who do mission stuff. And we'll be learning and we'll be challenged about why the need for missions is so great. This comes along at a great time because obviously we have two mission teams going out to do missions as well. I would love to have family weekends and family retreats and marriage seminars and have those things be a part of the expected year, church year, as we go through years ahead. I want to see joyful and sacrificial giving. I want to see continual dependence on the Holy Spirit. I want to see continual praise and worship of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want God to be the focal point of our worship Sunday. If it's ever about Pastor Ben, if it's ever about anything but God, get me out of here and go find some other pastor who can do it better. I mean that very seriously. Our worship needs to be about Jesus. With the understanding, this is not a normal sermon, right? Next week, if I still don't have you open the Bible, get me out of here and go find someone who can do it better. That is my qualification. I told you already this is going to be different than normal. But yeah, we're studying God's Word. No apologies for that. Our focus is going to be on Jesus and the gospel and how it saves and keeps us and grows us. No apologies for that. If that gets old and you're like, oh, I can predict, Pastor Ben's going to talk about Jesus again this Sunday. Yep. Sorry, not sorry. Not sorry at all. Yep. If that gets old, I'm sorry. But I'm not sorry, because it should always be about Jesus, the gospel. And we study his word that he's given to us. I prayed for weeks and weeks about this. I started putting together thoughts and how to best present a little bit of vision for what I've seen in the past, my observations, Pastor Ben's thoughts about 2023, where we are currently, where we can grow, and where, Lord willing, we will be able to grow as we enter 2024. And before we take communion, I'm going to challenge us to look at four different sections of corporate prayer. As we enter 2024, I know, we'll go late today. It's already my clock saying 11:59. We'll go a little late. But I don't apologize for that, because we're going to pray and then celebrate with communion together. We're going to pray for four different things. And first, I'm going to ask us to pray through personal needs. This is you. This is you. Maybe you and family, maybe you and spouse, but mostly you. To pray for sin and forgiveness, especially as we come to communion. 1 Corinthians warns us that some people were punished by God because they kept sin in their life even as they celebrated communion with the church. Oh yeah, everything's fine. Yep, yep. Sounds a little bit like us in 2023, pretending that everything's fine when it's not. So now is the time to clear your heart and get your heart right with God, with sin and forgiveness. You have needs and requests. Pray for them, even now. You may know the person next to you has a deep need, a deep request that they're struggling with. Pray for that person or the person across the room. Pray for spiritual growth, that you would grow. And pray for health. Nothing wrong with praying for health. Pray for trust. Before we move on and pray for other things, I'll just ask for this moment. You can look up here. You can close your eyes and pray for what you want. But I challenge us as a church to spend a little bit of time in personal needs as we pray. Let's do so. Pardon me for interrupting if you're still praying, but I would also ask the next thing for us to pray for is for this church. Corporately, we should pray for this church. There are many things I could have put up here. I chose to put three, I guess, headings under this. Pray for your leadership, church leadership, that we would lead well, serve well, lead while serving. Pray for the different ministries. There are so many ministries, I could have typed them all out. Instead, I just want you to go ahead and pray for the ones that the Spirit puts on your heart. Pray for the ministries of this church, whether it's music, whether it's Awana, whether it's kids or adults ministries, studies, so many outreach things that we do. And I would ask you that you would see and pray for God to see our church gather, grow, and go, and to continue to do those things. Let's pray. I think it's wise as well as we continue to pray, as our view continues to widen a little bit, starting with ourselves, then our church, and as we widen, I think it's healthy for us to pray for both our state and our nation, for the communities around us, is what I mean, and for West Virginia, but regarding churches as well, to pray for churches in the state and in our nation to grow, to strengthen. It's not just growth in numbers. We know that most churches are shrinking in numbers. That's the state of our society today. But we ask for growth in those churches, spiritual growth, that there would be true followers of Jesus and not just casual followers. And it's always right to pray for our government leaders and the decisions that they're going to make in the next year ahead. So let's pray for that. And last but not least, I will ask us to expand our prayers now to apply to the entire world at large, the globe that we live on. We would pray specifically for missionaries who are right now, even right at this moment, sharing the gospel and preaching in communities that may have never, ever, ever come across a Bible or a Christian song ever before in their life. Places that don't have the Bible in their own language, that you would pray for missionaries and translators who are doing an important work in the community around them. Pray for churches and Christians under persecution. We take for granted that we don't have to fear coming to worship together in a church like this. I thank God for that freedom. But many nations in the world don't technically allow that. And so churches have to meet in secret or under cover of darkness or under a false facade that they're coming together to talk about work or a party or something else where they can secretly worship God. I pray that we would understand the importance of praying for them to protect those people and keep them strong. It's absolutely right to pray for peace in this world, even when all the headlines remind us that there is not peace in this world. It is right to pray to God to intervene, to bring peace when it doesn't seem like it's possible, to bring health to nations who currently struggle with something as simple as vaccines that we, again, take for granted. And it's also right to pray for the gospel to spread throughout the world, that that work would continue, that Christianity globally would continue to rise as it is currently, that would continue. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we continue in prayer, I just ask that you would strengthen this church, this local church made up of people of all kinds of backgrounds and all types of opinions and all types of being raised up in certain ways, coming together to worship you. I thank you for this church family, and I pray that we continue to worship and glorify you. I pray that we use our resources wisely. You have blessed this church family, and I pray that we reflect that well in how we use the things that you've given us. I pray for this state. I pray for this country. It is not cool anymore to go to church. It is not expected anymore that you identify as a Christian. And that's both sad news and yet great news, because it helps us understand that those who are here all the way. And that if we are committing to following you, that's going to separate us in a society that does not celebrate that anymore. I pray most importantly that you would continue to spread your gospel. You promise that the gates of hell will never conquer the spread of the gospel, and I pray that we see that around the world. Christianity continues to explode in areas where persecution is strongest, and I pray that even in the persecution, you would bless those churches, those families, the pastors and missionaries who are giving their lives to be able to spread your gospel, and I pray that not only will we just be aware of it, but that we will support it in whichever ways we can, and that we would continue to lift those people up, those needs up with you. May you somehow work in your perfect ways, peace and safety, when it seems like there is not peace and safety, both here in this community, in West Virginia, in the United States of America, and in the rest of the world. May we see you work as only you work, and may you alone get the credit and the glory for anything good that truly happens, both here in our own lives, in this church, as well as in the world. Jesus, it is simply because of you that we can pray this. Amen.